Sorry?
Okay, so I'm gonna see it.
Okay. We're gonna start today's daf is daf Chav Talad. We're gonna start on daf Chav Kimel Mabez about 7 lines from the bottom. Bamine Rabbi Yosef Breder Nechunim Rabbi Huda. Mashi Yedniach Adam Tefillin Taksim Rishayisav. Again, it's a different world than our world. People wore tefillin all the time, and they needed to protect them. So when somebody lays down, could he put the tefillin under his head, on his bed? Says the Gemara. Taks Margulaisav under his feet, like a mibayle. It's not a question that it's certainly not permitted. Why? Shinoig ben min bezoyin. It's terrible to put tefillin under your feet. Ki ka mibayle taks Margulaisav mai. What's the luck if you want to put the tefillin under your head? It's interesting. There's a shiloh that is very common in a lot of shuls. And in a lot of shuls, they have these benches that you could pick up the seat and you could put your, you could put things under your seat, tachas tefillin. You could put towels, tefillin, sedurim, whatever under them. And according to this Gemara, it shouldn't be permitted because it's tachas, it's not under your head. Under the head, we're going to have a whole sugya. But certainly somewhere else should not be mutter. So it's a shiloh that's not a new shiloh. Some Paiskim say it's certainly not preferable to do it. Other Paiskim say that you have a heter, two heterim. One is if there's a area, a space between the talis tefillin and the seat, it serves as a mechitza and it's fine. Others also say that if the seats are nailed down into the ground, they become part of the floor and it's considered a separate area. But it's probably not the best thing to do if you could avoid it. Amalei, hachik amishmu, mutafil ishtaimai. Somebody could put tefillin under his head, even if he's in bed with his wife. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says a brisa, but you then Adam tefillah taks magulaisav, a person shouldn't put tefillin under his bed, under his feet, because it's embarrassing. Ava manichan taks marishaisav, under his head he may. However, says the brisa, the meisa ishtimai, however, if his wife is with him in the bed, osur, even under the head is osur. Continued the brisa, if the tefillin are put on a ledge, which are 3 tefachim above the bed, or 3 tefachim below the bed, mutter. But regularly, in bed, if somebody is in bed with his wife, it's not permitted to have the tefillin. How could Shmuel say that it is? So seemingly, Shmuel psak is questioned from this brisa. Says Rava, a very interesting statement Rava makes. Afgav the Tanya Tiyufta the Shmuel, even though we have a brisa here, which is explicitly different than Shmuel, and we always know that a brisa supersedes an amoira. Shmuel was only an amoira, and we always follow the Tana when instead of the brisa. Still, Hilchas Kavasei, we paskin like Shmuel. My Tama, why do we do that? Because Kol Nitrinu Tvei Adif. Why is somebody putting tefillin under his head in his bed? He's putting tefillin under his head because he wants to watch them. So anything, since we're dealing here with shmira of the tefillin, that is so important, we will follow an amoris psak versus a tanis psak. The heichem manachlu, when you're putting them under your head on the bed, where do you put them? Rav Yirmiya ben kar lekeses, you should put it under the pillow on the sheet. However, shloi keneged roishai, not directly under where you put your head. Asked the Gemara, "Tan Rav Chiya, Menichem Kaiv Taksim Rishayisav, you could put it under your head. Under your head. So how come you're saying you can't put it under your head?" Answers the Gemara, "The Mapik Leila Mosu the Kaiv Labar. It's not directly under your head. It protrudes away from your head." Says the Gemara, "Back apart Tzair LeBekilta. Back apart hung the tefillin on the canopy. They used to have a canopy around the bed. Or Mapik LeMerson Labar, and that's how the tefillin stuck out." Says the Gemara, Shesh Brei Ravidi Manach La'asha Shifa, he used to put it on a stool next to his bed, or Paris Sudra Alaway, and then he had some sort of a cover over it, and that's certainly fine, because as we learned yesterday, if you cover the tefillin, it's fine. Amar Rav Amnun Brei Rav Yosef, Zivna Chadah Havei Kaimna Kamei De Rava, as one standing next to Rava, Vamle Zeil Isolate Tefillin, and he told me, please bring me my tefillin. Veshkechetinu, so I went and I looked for his tefillin, and where did I find his tefillin? Ben kalakesis, between the pillow and the sheet, shloi keneged roishai, not exactly where he keeps his head. Vavi yidana, and I knew the yoyim tefillah, however. That night that I took the tefillin off his bed was a night that he had just, that his wife had just gone to the mikveh, and therefore they obviously had relations. So v'ligmonan, and what was Rava's purpose here? L'halach l'maisu David. He wanted to teach me, in halacha there's always a concept of what you learn in a braisa or a mishnah, and then there's a concept of maisa rav, halach l'maisa, what you actually see somebody doing. Here, seeing that Rava actually did what he passed in, like Shmuel, that he had the tefillin in his bed, under his pillow, even though we know he had been together with his wife the night before, that was the biggest proof that it's mutter to put the tefillin under those circumstances in the bed. It's interesting. You know, we just learned not long ago Masechta Nida. And one of the things that we keep on learning Masechta Nida is that the Leil Tefillah, the night that a woman goes to the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to have relations. But where do we find that concept? Here we find that concept. Because here the Gemara says that, how do they know that he had relationship with his wife? Because it was a Leil Tefillah. So just because it was a Leil Tefillah doesn't mean they had relations. From here you see that in a Leil Tefillah you're supposed to have a relationship with your wife. Continues the Gemara. Bominei Rabbi Yosef Reid, Rabbi Nechunim, Rabbi Yehuda. Shnaim shi yishenu b'mita achas. If two people, we start a new sugya now. Two people are laying in one bed. Ma'ash zei yachs upon a v'yikra krishma v'zei yachs upon a v'yikra krishma. So the Gemara Shail is talking about a situation where two people are laying in bed without any clothing on, and they turn back to back, and may they read Krishna that way. So it's important to say this, because if you remember when we learned earlier in the Masechta, it said in the Masechta it's not that respectful to say Krishna laying in bed, even if you're laying on the side. So we're obviously talking here in a b'di'evadiga situation, the Mefarshim say, where the person's already in bed and he already took off all his clothing and he realizes that he didn't say Krishna shel arvis, and now the question is, what should he do? May he lay in Krishna? Amalei, so he said to him, Hachyam Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Vafila Ishtayimai, it's permitted even if his wife is in bed with him. Maskla Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, what are you saying, Ishtoi, that certainly when your wife is there, it's mutter v'lemi b'ayach, and certainly someone else, if by your wife where you may come to thoughts about relations, still it's mutter, certainly somebody else where you don't have that relationship with, you're certainly mutter. So Rabbi Yosef said just the opposite. Adrabba, ishtoi kegufay. With a wife, a person has a familiarity. He's used to his wife, and therefore, even though if they're laying next to each other, even without any clothing, we're not that concerned, and we allow him to say Krishna. However, acher, somebody else, laf kegufay. It's not, they don't have that closeness, they don't have that familiarity, and maybe it's not mutter. Meisvei. And he proves it from two braises, because we have one braise that says like this: Shnayim sheyishenu b'mita achas. Two people are laying in one bed. Is the halacha, and they want to say Krishma. Is the halacha zemach upon a v'kairei? One should turn to his over to his side, having his back facing the other person's back. The zemach upon a v'kairei, and they could say Krishma. V'tanya yichriti. Yet there's a different braise. The other braise says hayoshim b'mita. Somebody's in a bed. Ubanav b'nei beis b'tzida, and he has family members, and like Rashi explains, family members include his wife, because his wife is part of his family, and they're laying with Sido on the side. Hareza lo yikra Krishma, it's not permitted to say Krishma. Elam kein haisa talisai mafsekas by name, unless there's a sheet separating the two people. Vimhoya b'darim v'bnei beis ktanim. However, if the family members are ktanim, mutter. So Bishlam, so we have a steer in the brises. Why? The first braisa says it's mutter, and the second braisa says unless they're children, and we'll see soon what the shear is, unless the children, you should put a sheet. So how do we reconcile the two braises? So the Gemara says, Bishlam l'Rav Yosef, according to where Rav Yosef paskins loikasha, habishtoi, with his wife, he doesn't need a sheet, habacher, with somebody else, he requires the sheet. But according to Shmuel, El Shmuel, that says it's always permitted, a wife and everybody else makes no difference. Kasha, it's difficult. What's going on? Answers the Gemara. Omlach Shmuel. And Shmuel says, L'Rabbi Yosef Minicha. And according to Rabbi Yosef, is everything so understandable? For Tanya, we learned a different braisa. Hayoshin, B'mita, somebody's sleeping in bed, laying in bed, Ubanah B'nei B'mita, and his family, which obviously includes his wife, on the bread, lo yikra krishma, elam kain hoyse tavis b'fsek b'neim, unless he has a sheet. So here we see that even by wife, you have to have a sheet. So Rabbi Yosef agreed that by wife, you don't have to have any separation. Yet we have a braisa that disagrees. Elmayis l'chomeimah, how do we reconcile all of this difficulty? The only way to reconcile this is to say, ishtel Rabbi Yosef tanaihi. There's a machloikas tanaim, what is the halacha by the wife? Some braises paskin that a wife is mutter without any separation, and another braise says that a wife needs a separation. And Rabbi Yosef is going to paskin like the braise that says that a wife doesn't need separation. So Shmuel says, I also say tanoihi, that it's a machloikas tanoim. Yes, there are braises that corroborate my psak, that by a wife it's permitted with any separation, and there are braises that disagree with me, that wife also requires some separation, and I'm going to pass him like the braisa that says that by wife there's a need for separation. Ask the Gemara. Amar, we just explained, what can they do by a wife? Everybody agrees by a wife, certainly this is dalacha. Zem max upon a kair krishma, everybody should turn over the side. Ask the Gemara of Ikim Agavis. True, the front of the bodies aren't touching each other, but the backs are touching. Why isn't that a problem? Answers the Gemara, Messiah Leila Rafuna, this is support to what Rafuna said. Dama Rafuna, Agavis Ein Be'em Mishum Erva. The issue of Erva is only in the front of the body, not in the back of the body. Leila Messiah Leila Rafuna. And we'll bring you a proof to this Raya, that unless the Erva is protruding, there is no problem. Because the halacha is as follows. The halacha is, we all know that when somebody is baking challah or bread or anything with a dough, they have to take off challah. They have to take off challah. We burn that challah. But when you take off challah, if it's the right amount of dough, you have to make a bracha. Now, again, a bracha is not allowed to be made if a person is not dressed. So the halacha is, ha'isha yeshevus, if an isha is sitting, the kaitzla chalas aruma, she could take off challah from the dough even though she's not wearing any clothing. Why? Because since her erva is not protruding, so therefore there is no problem that she's not wearing clothing. Avaloyish. A man whose erva protrudes is not allowed to do it. So we see here that any erva that doesn't protrude is not considered an erva. Similarly, the erva in the back of a male and a female, the back doesn't protrude by anybody, it's flat, and therefore it's mutter to say krishma when they're touching. Says the Gemara, we may not have a raya from that case. Because that case, Tirgmer of Nachman by Yitzchok, it's talking about Kohen Shoye Paneh Tochs Bakarka. Her face, the bottom, Paneh means her bottom of a part of her body, is on ground which is soft, and the ground is covering that area. So since the ground is covering that area, that's why there's no problem. But it could be just without that, even though the erva isn't protruding, it could still be a problem. But the halacha is like this. The halacha is that if they're laying back to back, again, this is certainly not lechatchila, but if they're laying back to back, it's mutter. If they're laying front to front, it's certainly usur. The shaila, the poskim have, which the Gemara interestingly doesn't talk about, is what if it's they're lying, both of them are lying in the same direction. So you have somebody's front touching somebody else's back. What's going to be the halacha? It's an interesting shaila, and the halacha is the person whose erva is not touching the other person can't say krishma. The person whose erva is touching the other person should not say krishma. There is something that we could take from this Gemara that's relevant to Purim tonight, because we're talking about this woman who's not dressed making a bracha. And the Gemara says, Isha Yeshevis, she's sitting. She obviously has to be sitting, because if she was standing, it would certainly be a problem. So we see from here that a bracha on a mitzvah is allowed to be made when you're sitting, which would mean that you would allow to be make the bracha on the Megillah, which is also a berachas mitzvah sitting. The minig is that you don't make berachas mitzvahs sitting. Berachas mitzvahs are made standing. In this case, l'chatchila, and that's why even people who sit during Kriyas Megillah stand for the bracha. That's the minig in all the shuls. This woman, we allow her to sit because she has no choice. She's not wearing any clothing, so this is the more proper way. But certainly a brichas mitzvah should be made, and we'll talk about brachas mitzvah in the second half of the Masechta, should be made standing. Amamar, we also learned, Emhaya Barnav of Nebes of Ktanim, but if the family members who are laying with him in bed are minors, mutter. So the question is, at kama, what age is this considered a katan? So Amar of Chizda, tonight this bashal shana v'yom echad, a girl when she's 3 years old, v'tinuk ben tes shana v'yom echad, and a boy, a male when he's 9 years old. Why? Because once a girl is 3 years old and a boy is 9 years old, we say that they are able to have tambir, they're able to have intercourse, and they're already considered somewhat adult as far as this is concerned. Ikad Amri, and this is the halacha. Tonight is bas yud alav shana v'yom echad. By a female, it's 11 years old. V'tinoik bas shtei mesher shana v'yom echad. And by male, it's 12 years old. However, idi v'idi, whatever shir you'll say, whether you'll say it's the 3 and 9 year old shir, or whether you'll say the more lenient view of 11 and 12 years old, it has to be at kedei shadayim nechayne, the breast are formed, v'sereich tzimrich, and they have pubic hair. That means, let's say you'll have a girl who's 11 years old but hasn't matured physically, then it won't be a problem. And certainly the halacha is, let's say she does mature physically but she's not the proper age, it's also not a problem. It only starts being a problem if you have the proper age and the physical maturity. Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Ashi Hasma v'Rava. In the first Gemara that we learned today, Rava said, Afgav the Yurt of the Shmuel, even though we had a brisa that was against Shmuel regarding where somebody could put his tefillin on the bed, we paskin Hilchasa Kavasei the Shmuel. We still learned that the halach is like Shmuel over the brisa. So he asks him, Hachamai, what's going to be in this halach in here? Are we also going to paskin like Shmuel, even though there are brises that seem to contradict his psak? Amalei Sarava said, Atakula Bechada Macht Mechtina. The literal taich of this means was everything woven with one weave. Does mean that was everything taught the same way? Where we have a Kabbalah, where we have a tradition that we pass in like Shmuel, even though the Braisa says differently, we say that. But we don't have such a tradition. Of course, we don't necessarily follow Shmuel against the Braisa. Ask the Gemara a different question. Omle Ramori Rapapa. Sar Yotzer Bigdoy. If somebody has a hair from the erva area sticking out from his zipper, may he say Krishma? Karles, so he said Sar. It's a hair, it's nothing, it's no problem, and you could say Krishma. Continues the Gemara. Omar Yitzchak. Tefach b'isha erva. A tefach, an area of a tefach on a woman's body, is an erva, and you're not allowed to say Krishma. Ask the Gemara. Rav Yitzchak makes a statement that much area of a woman's body is considered an erva. Il lemai, regarding what halacha did Rav Yitzchak say this? Ilay melistakubli bay, that a person is not supposed to gaze at a woman, look at her. Vam Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes says, lama mana kosu tachshitin shebechutz and tachshitin shebefnim. We find that Klal Yisrael brought a carbon from the booty that they got. All of the women jewelry they found. Now there was certain jewelry that was worn outside, necklaces, bracelets, whatever, and they also had certain jewelry that was worn in the private areas. And when they brought that jewelry to be mechaper, they brought all of the jewelry, both forms of jewelry. So the question is, lama mana kosu tashchitin shebechutz u tashchitin shebefnim? The tashchitin shebefnim I can understand because they came because people had immoral thoughts. But what about the tashchitin shebechutz? Loy melach. We have an important lesson to learn here. The kol mistak be'etzba ketana shel isha. If somebody looks even at the smallest area of a woman's body, just for the sake of looking at her for pleasure, kol mistak be'makom ha'tayrif. It's like looking at the makom ha'erva. So certainly, that's not what Rav Yitzchak was teaching us. That you're allowed to look at a tefach be'isha. What is the halacha? El be'ishta ul krishma. The halacha is that even though with somebody's wife, so he's allowed to look at parts of the body that are normally covered, if it's his wife, still when he's saying Krishma or Davar Shebekedusha, and his wife is there, he should not, when she's not dressed properly, he can't say Krishma. Amar Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda said, Shoit b'isha erva. Shoit means the thigh. The thigh of a woman is an erva. Shenemar, Gali, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Gali Shoit, reveal your thigh, Avri Nahiris, as you go through the river. The Ksiv, and the Pasuk afterwards says, Togel Ervascha, your error is revealed. V'gam tirach ha'paschal, your shame has been shown. So we see that the shoik is considered an erva, which is a very this is a very difficult gemara. The Chazon Ish asked this question. The shoik is the thigh. The thigh is an area that's always covered. When the Gemara is not coming to talk about an area that's always covered, an area that's always covered by a woman is certainly an erva. But so that Gemara doesn't have to tell me that that's an erva. So the Chazon Ish says, and it's interesting, Chazon Ish, he says what the Gemara here means by a shoik, he means the area below the knee till the ankle, which is a big chiddush, because that's an area that by women it's usually not covered. And why would that be an erva? So I saw mafarshim that say psat, it depends on the, and that's what the Gemara is trying to teach us. It depends on the minhag hamakom. What normal, you know, the certain things that are supposed to be covered, and even if the minhag hamakom is that it's not covered, that doesn't change. But areas that are not that obvious, it depends on the minhag hamakom. If it's an area like below the knee, where maybe in some places women have that area covered, and that area in some places they don't have it covered. Depending on what the minig is, that's daloch. If you live in a place where it's always covered, it's an erva. If you live in a place where it's not always covered, it isn't the erva. Right. The shaila also here is, at what age of a girl does it become an erva? So the Mishnah Berura says from 3 years old, it's already considered an erva, a place that's normally covered. Other mafpaiskim say a later age. Continues the Gemara. Amishmu, kol bi'isha erva. A woman's voice is erva. So like the Rambam immediately explains, we're not talking about talking to a woman. There's no problem of erva when you talk to a woman. Here we're talking about a woman singing. And as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, ki kolach arev, your voice is sweet, umarach nava, and your look is beautiful. So looking and singing are combined. So just like looking, we just finished learning, is an erva, so is singing. And that's the halacha, kol b'isha erva. All the paiskim speak about hearing kol isha, so certainly hearing kol isha when she's, who you hear or watch a woman singing, is certainly usher. The shaila is on tapes, on radio, whatever. So many paiskim ameiko, specifically if you do not know the woman who's singing. There's a shaila, let's say you have a tape jacket and has a picture, you shouldn't look at the tape jacket, and then you won't have a shaila. Probably shouldn't look at the tape jacket anyway. And and it's interesting that the Pesach can also say here, when somebody's wife is a nida, so she's an erva to him, so then she shouldn't sing in his presence. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Seishas, sarbi isha erva. Here on a woman is erva. Shinamar, because also the Pesach in Shir HaShirim glorifies a woman's hair, sa'arek eder izim. Your hair is like the beautiful wool on goat, on sheep. Amar Rav Chanina, ani re'isi es Rebbe shetala tefillin. I saw Rebbe who hung up his tefillin. That means he took a peg and he hung up his tefillin. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. There's a braisa that says a toilet tefillin, somebody hangs up his tefillin in a disrespectful way, yitluchai, if he's putting his life in jeopardy. And darshi chamurus hayomer. People who used to explain the psukim, chamurus means the difficult psukim in the Torah, said the pasuk says v'choyach hayecha tuluyin chamin neged. The pasuk in the Teichacha in Parashas Kisavah says your life will be in danger. Who is it referring to? Zeh talat tefillin. That's somebody who hangs up his tefillin. So we see that you're not supposed to do that. So how did Rebbe treat his tefillin this way? And it says the Gemara like Kasha, Habrit Suah Habak Tzitza. It makes a difference if you're hanging it by the strings, by the Ritzuas, or by the backs. By the bottom, it's okay. By the Ritzuas, it's Asr. And from here is the Mekar for the Halacha. People have to be careful with this. When they take off the tefillin or they put on the tefillin, they should be careful that the Ritzuas don't touch the floor. Vibay Seima, Loishna Ritzuah, Loishna Tzitza. It doesn't make a difference if you're hanging it by the Ritzuas or by the bottom. The Chitali Rebbe, what did Rebbe hang? The Kisses of Tali. He hung it up when they were in the tefillin bag. Ask the Gemara, Malamemra, if they're in the tefillin bag, of course it's not disrespectful, so why should it be a problem? Answers the Gemara, Ma the time to boy ha noch ksev Torah. tefillin required to be put into like an Aron Kodesh, like a Sefer Torah requires, Kamashma, that tefillin don't have that requirement. But certainly they have to be treated respectfully. And all the Mefarshim say, if this Gemara says that if Chas V'Shalom, somebody doesn't treat the tefillin with the proper respect, he is putting his life in jeopardy. So Mida Taiva Merubah, if somebody does treat his tefillin with the proper respect, it's a school of Arichas Yomim to have a long, healthy life. Continues the Gemara. I saw Rebbe. Shegiek. Geek means that he burped. Opiek means that he yawned. Benis atesh. He sneezed. Virok, and he spit. Umeshamish begodov, and they used to have a problem with lice, and he used to take off the lice from his begodim. From his begadim during davening, avloi hayimasatif. If his talus fell off, he was careful not to put it back on, and that is the halach lemaisa. If somebody's talus, if somebody's wearing a talus while he's davening, so if it just falls off partially, you know, happens a lot of times, it falls off your shoulders, you're certainly allowed to put it back on. But if your talus completely falls off, you're not supposed to really put it back on. That's the halacha. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that let's say your talus fell and it's laying on the floor, and because of that, you're a Milosh Menesrei, and you can't concentrate properly with your talus on the floor, and you feel embarrassed standing there like that. So because you're not davening Shemoneh Esrei with proper concentration, you are allowed to pick the talus up from the floor and put it on. But a bracha, you shouldn't make a Milosh Shemoneh Esrei. The bracha you'll make after the Shemoneh Esrei, because the halacha also is that if your talus completely falls off and you put it back on, you have to make a new bracha. But don't make the bracha in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. You'll make the bracha after the Shemoneh Esrei. Be the mashmish and the tzitzis, look at the tzitzis, and then make the bracha. Ukshmefaik. And when he did yawn, haymneich yodav satera, he put his hands on his mouth. Meisvei asked the Gemara Kasha from a braisa. It says in a braisa, I will discuss this soon, hamishmir kol b'tfilasoi, if somebody's voice could be heard when he davens, hareza miktane muna. It shows that he doesn't have a muna, because a person has faith in Hashem, believes that Hashem hears us even if we're not speaking loud. Hamagbia b'tkoy b'tfilasoi, if somebody raises his voice when he's davening, hareza m'nevi'a sheker. Because that's what the Nevi'a sheker used to do, they used to scream and yell. That's not our way. Megag m'fak, if somebody does burping or yawning, hareza megase ruach. That's considered a dalgaiva, because that's not what you're supposed to be doing during davening. Hams atesh b'tfilasoi, if somebody sneezes, simin raloi, it's a bad sign because a sneeze you can't make yourself. So if min shemayim they brought a sneeze on you, you're in davening, they're sending you a bad omen. V'yesh am nikishu mechor, it's obvious that you're a disgusting person. Harok b'tfilasoi, if somebody spits during davening, kilurok b'fnei melech, it's as if he's spitting in the king's face. So the Gemara says, bishlam megag u'mefag, burping or mefag, loikasha, why isn't it a question? Kan lo ansoi, kan lo ritzoino. If he does it on purpose, it's terrible. What are you doing that during davening? If it happens beyond your control, it's not a problem. Ela misatish misatish kasha, a sneeze you can't control. So we learned that Rebbe did sneeze. Rebbe did sneeze. And here it says that you're not allowed to that the sneezing is terrible. Answers the Gemara, Misatish and Misatish namalei kasha. There is no problem with Misatish. Because Misatish does not necessarily mean sneezing. Misatish means expelling air from the body. And therefore, kamal mala, if you sneeze from your mouth, it's okay. On the contrary, because sneezing is usually enjoyable, as we'll see in a minute. Kan milmata, but if somebody passes air from below, that is bad. Dom Rav Zera, homels ivli beira havnuna. This thing I learned in Rav Hamnuna's yeshiva, v'tekilali, it's worth to me, it's a choshev to me, kikula tamadoi, like everything else I learned. Hams atish v'tfilosa, if somebody sneezes when he davens, simin yofaloi, it's a good sign. Why? Sneezing is enjoyable, getting out a good sneeze. So just like in this world, he's enjoying and they're being nice to him, he could be comfortable in knowing that in the Shemayim, they're interested in making life good for him. However, Rebbe spit during davening, and here we said that you're not allowed to spit. Answers the Gemara, rock nami lekasha. Efshik Rebbe Huda, because even in spitting, it makes a difference how you spit. If you spit directly on the floor, it's taka terrible. Kilu rock lefnei melech. It's like spitting in the king's face. Dam Rebbe Huda. Rebbe Huda said, "Hay am v'tfila." If he's davening, when there's daven leroik, and he has an excess saliva in his mouth that he wants to get rid of, mevliya b'talisai, he could put it into his talus. He could spit into his talus, and that's not that disgusting. V'talus nahu, he has a beautiful talus and doesn't want to ruin it with that. Is the halacha mevliya b'arfkasai? They used to wear such a kerchief, a head covering, so do it into your head covering. So Gemara says, Ravina have a kachuri to Rav Ashi. Ravina was standing behind Rav Ashi. Nizdamen loy roik. And in the middle of davening, he had an excess saliva. Paskalei lachari. So he turned around and spit it to the back of him. Amalei. So Ravina asked Rav Ashi, Leisavla malahad Rav Yehuda. Don't you agree with Rav Yehuda said that he said mavliyah b'afksasoi that you should put it into your kerchief, but don't spit in the middle of davening. Amalei anan nina datoi. I am very delicate, and since I'm very delicate, spitting into any garment that I'm wearing is particularly troubling to me, therefore I don't have that option, and therefore I don't spit directly in front of me, because that's kila rock b'fnei ha-melech. I turn to the back. When the Shulchan Aruch says the best is turn to the back, or if you can't do the back, because let's say somebody's standing right behind you, so you don't want to spit into his face, so you could spit to the side. So we learned ha-mashmir koil b'tfilosoi, if somebody's voice could be heard when he davens, ha-reza miktanei amona. That means that he shows a lack of faith that Hashem can't hear any other way. Om Rav Huna.
We're
going to talk about that in a minute. Oh. Very good. Om Rav Huna. Loishon elosh yochel chavnas libe belachish. When are we talking about? Where a person can properly concentrate when he's davening quietly. So if you can't concentrate adequately when you're davening quietly, you should not daven loud. Avol ein yochel chavnas libe belachish. If you can't have proper concentration, mutter. The Hanimili, furthermore, when is there a heter that you don't have proper concentration, so allowing you to say the words a little loud during davening? B'yochid, when you're davening b'yechidus, so there's nobody there that you're disturbing. Al b'tzibur, if you're davening in a shul with other people, also l'mitri tzibur, there's a concern that you're going to disturb your neighbors who are standing around you, and therefore, even though you may have better concentration when you're davening a little loud, you have no heter. So now we have the shaila. What is the halacha? So the Arizal says that this refers to all tefillah, that a person should daven all tefillah if he can low, even Psuka de Zimra. And the Raya is because the prototype for all of Hilchos tefillah we know is from Chana, and it says by Chana v'Chana medaberes aliba, what he called, she spoke to her heart. Most poskim say haloch lemaisa that you're allowed to davening loud, and the Gemara here is referring to Shmon Esrei alone. And that's what Allah is by Shmon Esrei, you shouldn't daven it loud. Certainly if you're disturbing people around you, but even if you're not disturbing people around you, if you can concentrate, then you're allowed to. The minig is, however, this the Shulchan Aruch brings down, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people do daven even the Shmon Esrei a little louder that their voices can be heard, because they need that for Kavanah. The problem is, what are you doing to your neighbor? So the Pesukim says, since on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur everybody davens from a machzor, people don't know that tefillah by heart, so if he's davening from a machzor, it won't disturb his concentration when you're davening loud. Continues the Gemara. Reb Abba kamishtamim menei Reb Yehuda. Reb Abba was avoiding Reb Yehuda. Why? Dava kaboyim lameis tiklar di Yisrael. Reb Abba wanted to make aliyah. He wanted to go live in Israel, and that's Yisrael. And Reb Yehuda did not approve. Dom Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, a Gemara at the end of Masechta Ksubis, Kol Oilu Mevavel Eretz Yisrael, whoever moves from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, Oiver Basay, is Oiver Nasay. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Bavel Yevayu, they should go to Bavel, B'sham Yoyu, and they should remain there, Ad Yoyim Pagdi Oysam Nom Hashem, until Hashem remembers us with Mashiach. So he held that you're not allowed to move from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. So again, many Paiskim say two things. Firstly, that this is only said that if there's Torah in Chutz La'aretz, he was moving from Bavel. Bavel is where everything of where, that was where the Ikka Torah, Tamil Bavli,
was in Bavel. But if you're going to Eretz Yisrael because that's where you could live as a Jew better, he might have agreed that you could go to Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. Another thing, how did, if Rav Yehuda is right, what does Rav Abba do with this pasuk? Rav Abba said that this pasuk is not talking about people moving to Israel, that the pasuk is talking about kelim, that it was talking here about the clay of the Beis HaMikdash, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash were taken to Bavel, and he was saying, he felt that the pasuk is telling us that those kelim remain in Chutz Laaretz, but people may move to Eretz Yisrael. However, Amma, Ezel v'Eshma ne'milsa Beis Medrash, Beis Vada, even though Rabbi Yehuda and I, we may not agree in learning, we have a serious halachic debate here, but Rabbi Yehuda is still the big Talmud Chacham. From here we see that from everybody, even if we don't agree with them, there's an inyan to learn from everybody. So I want to go to the Beis Medrash and hear one more lesson, one more shir from Yehuda, v'hada ofik, and then I'll move. Then I'll go to Israel. Also, Ashkechel Tana, the Tana Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, they used to have a Tana that used to stand in front of the Rabbi Yehuda, and he, Rabbi Yehuda, used to whisper the shir to him, and he used to say it on the microphone. Hay Ayim B'Tfila. If somebody was davening, Minis Atish, and he passes gas, is the Locha Mamtim at Sheyich La Ruach. He has to wait.
Sneeze.
No, I'm right. Passing gas. Mamtim at Sheyich La Reach. He has to wait until the odor goes away. B'chayz Mispawel. And then he could daven again. And that's the same for learning. If somebody is learning, and while he's learning, he passes gas, he has to wait until the odor dissipates, and then he can continue learning. Ikadamri, a different version. Hoya, I'm a bit filler. If somebody's davening, or bikish, lis atesh, and he has to pass gas, is the loch machrik lachar of dalar amis. He moves away from where he's standing for tefillah dalar amis. As we learned many times, dalar amis is the place of a person. Umis atish, and then he passes the gas. Umamtim atshiyach la'areyach, and he waits until the odor dissipates. V'chayzim espalim, and then he says this tefillah. V'am ribon shalom, Hashem, yitzartanu, you created us, nekovim, with various cavities in our bodies, chalulim, with various parts of our bodies. Golev yidul fenechad, you know that we're all human. Chapaseinu, our embarrassment, v'klimaseinu, and our embarrassments, the chayenu bechrisenu, while we're alive, and even after we leave the world. When we leave the world, we'll be rima tolei, we'll be worms, we'll eat us. So he says that tefillah. There's a shaila, where does he say the tefillah? Does he say the tefillah where he went to pass the gas, or does he say the tefillah where he comes back? And then he begins where he left off. The Shmoneh Esrei. Again, the halacha is, he starts where he left off the Shmoneh Esrei, going back to what we learned yesterday, only if he didn't spend that much time that he could have said the whole Shmoneh Esrei. But if the Hefsek was so long that he could have said the whole Shmoneh Esrei, you have to go back to the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei. Amma, so he said, even if I had only come to hear this, it would have been worth it. It was such a wonderful lesson. And that, it's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch, this is the halacha, that if somebody has to pass gas during davening, that's what he should do. But the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't do this. Why don't we do this? Because it's very embarrassing that if a person in the middle of davening would all of a sudden walk away from where he's standing to do this. It's embarrassing, so we don't do it. And since we don't walk away, we also don't say the Ribbono Shel Olam if somebody did pass gas during the Shmoneh Esrei. But what you should do, it says in Halacha, is that if a person feels that he can't control himself from passing gas during Shmoneh Esrei, or that's not just Shmoneh Esrei, even during davening and he's wearing tefillin, he should move the tefillin out of the place. He shouldn't be wearing tefillin properly when he's passing gas. Tana Rabbanan. Continues the Gemara. Hayosh Metilaisai. If somebody is laying under a blanket and it's very cold and he wants to say Krishma, and he can't take out his head, what do you call it? What should he do? Is halacha, he should take his neck, he should take the blanket up to his neck, and then kari krishma. He has to take, there should be a separation between his heart and the erva. Ask the Gemara, the Tanakama, that's only concerned about the head sticking out. What about Hare Libai Rois Erva? There's no separation between his heart and the neck, and the Erva. So answers the Gemara, because this Tanakama holds the Libai Rois Erva's Mutter. There's no problem if there's no separation between the Lev and the Erva. Somebody's walking in an alleyway in a street that isn't clean. and he wants to say Krishma, it's Zman Krishma. Is the halacha maniach yadav al piv? He should put his hand on his mouth to avoid intaking the bad odor of Kai Krishma. Amalei, Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda said, Alakim. Alakim is a lashon shvua. Alakim, I make a shvua. Amalei, Rav Yochanan, Bepimei. Even if I would have heard this directly from Rav Yochanan, let's just say, I wouldn't pay attention to what he said. Ikadamri. I'm Rabbi Bavachan, I'm Rabbi Shum Belevi. I'm Halbim, I'm Satan Neufus. If somebody's walking in an alleyway that's dirty, Menech Yod Vapir, Vikai Krishma. I'm Rabbi Chizda, so Rabbi Chizda said, Allah Kim, again, the Lashon Shvua, I'm Amelie Rabbi Shum Belevi before me. If Rabbi Shum Belevi would have said this, let's just sin in life. Ask the Gemara, or me, I'm Rav Huna Hachi, did Rav Huna say that you could say Krishma when you're walking in such a street? But Rav Huna, Tamat Chacham also lay lamb with Mokma Tanoifus. Tamat Chacham is not allowed to stand in a place that's dirty. Why? If he actually lamb by hearer Tyra, the Talmud Chacham can't prevent himself from thinking Tyra, and the place where there's a makom tonight, you shouldn't think. So we see Rav Huna does subscribe to the iser of saying or thinking Tyra in a place that's not clean. And so the Gemara loikasha kampa oimit, to stand in such a place is prohibited. Kamalik, to walk such a place is mutter. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, that you can't say Krishma or think Torah in a makom tanoifis. Vam Rabbi Bechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, become makom lo to lahar b'divrei Torah. You're allowed to think Torah everywhere. Chutz mibeis hamelech, basically say, besides a bathhouse or a bathroom. V'chik v'toyma hachinam, you'll say the same teretz. Kam ba'oimet, kam mahalik, the difference if he's walking or standing, any. V'avavua kava also basrei Rabbi Yochanan. Avua was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, v'avakar kar Krishma, and he was saying Krishma. When he came to a place that wasn't clean, ishtik, he remained quiet. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, so he asked Rabbi Yochanan, Lahecha hader, where should I go back to? So he said, Amalei, im shisa kadei ligmas kulei, if the time you stopped, you could have finished the whole Krishma, chayz l'rosh. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan says you shouldn't do it, and says, Gemara hachak amalei, l'di l'sfirli, I don't hold that you could say Krishma in a place that the mavoz to nefes. L'di doch, that you hold, you do have to stop. So now, imshis kadei ligmas kula chayz l'rosh. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavasa de Rav Huna, that it's prohibited, and Tanya kavasa de Rav Chizda, that it's prohibited. Tanya kavasa de Rav Huna, hay mahalak b'mavoyis atanoifis, if somebody's walking in a place that's dirty, meniach yadav al-piv yikah krishma, he should put his hand on his mouth and say Krishma. Tanya kavasa de Rav Chizda, hay mahalak b'mavoyis atanoifis, if somebody going in a voyis atanoifis, lo yikah krishma, he shouldn't say Krishma. V'lo yoyid, el shemay kairu apaya, if he's in the middle of the Krishma, paisik, he should stop it. Lo yipasik ma, if he didn't, what's the halacha? On Rav Ashi, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, all of a curse of Omer regarding him, the pasuk says, "Vegam ani nosati lehem, I have given you chukim leitayvim, rules that aren't good, or mishpatim leyichu behem." So the Farshim say it's okay because it's just chukim leitayvim. Rav Ashi, I'm a high moshkei ha'avain behevli ashav, that they take weak strings, that they're doing something which is very wrong, saying Krishma and a mavoyis tenayfus. Rav Adbar have a mahacha ki dvar Hashem bazar. Somebody saying Krishma in such a place is embarrassing Hashem's word. When Basak Ma'aschar, but if somebody does stop, what is the schar for treating Krishma with the proper respect? Am Ravu all of a kasu Omer, b'dvar zeh. If you're careful with your dibur, if you're careful in your dibur of dvarim kadoshim, tarich yomim, you will live a long life. The Mefarshim say an interesting thing for Erev Purim. It says here that in the Mokum HaTanoifus, you're not allowed to think Torah. That means you're not allowed to think Divrei Torah when you're in the bathroom. So what should a person think when he's in the bathroom? So Ram says you should think about Neflos HaBoyrei, that you can think about God's wonderful things. And if you can't think about that, what should you think about? You should think about how you could do another Jew a favor.
Get out of the bathroom.